This episode of the TCIA podcast is brought to you by COPMA Cranes, the most competitive knuckle boom crane for the tree care industry. Unleash your full potential with COPMA for tree care. COPMA cranes are built for heavy-duty applications with the best hydraulic technology to maximize your reach and lifting capacity like never before. COPMA's tech team, together with the unique know-how of tree care professionals, has developed the ultimate top-range cranes models for grapple saw applications. Extra functions to the tip with no diverter valves are making it ready for the grapple saw. COPMA represents the edge of mechatronic innovation thanks to superior oil flow with 5/8 inch hoses directly to the grapple, a true 100% stability at 360 degrees angle with the possibility of COPMA remote connectivity 4.0, a unique GPRS communication for diagnosis and remote adjustment of parameters in real time. COPMA cranes have been built since the 60s, with the highest grades of steel resistance and the most reliable and advanced Italian design and engineering, made to outperform an intensive use in the field. Visit cpsgroup.com for more information or contact your local COPMA dealer. Samson is excited to introduce V24, the next level in premium double braided climbing lines. Providing high strength and low stretch, V24 was engineered so the core and the cover work in unison, ensuring the same high quality and performance that you have come to expect from all Samson products. In addition, V24 provides excellent knot holding, foot locking, and works seamlessly with climbing hardware. Available in 11mm, 12mm, and 13mm, all sizes are CEEN 1891 certified. For more information on V24, visit samsonrope.com or contact your local supplier.
Hi, I'm Chucky Anderson. I'm the staff arborist at TCIA, and I'm really excited for TCIA Expo this year in Indianapolis. We've got some really great education sessions, including the panel discussion on grapple saw use. This is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, thank you, Chucky. So let's dive right into this because I know we're all really excited for Expo right now. And if you had to give the elevator pitch right now for the grapple saw panel discussion, what would it be?
Ooh, I haven't been in an elevator in a while. Yeah, so this thing has so many exciting components to it. It's going to be hard to put it into an elevator, but let me see what I can do. So the grapple panel discussion, we have gathered five, it used to be four, now it's five owner operators of grapple saw companies, or I should say tree companies, who have incorporated the use of a grapple saw into their operations. We've gathered these five professionals, and we're putting them in a panel discussion where there's a moderator will be asking each of these panelists questions about their decisions to incorporate grapple saws into their tree care operations. And we will also then be interacting with the audience, taking questions from the audience or directing questions to the audience to try to give everybody in the room a basic, if not more detailed, sense of what it takes to move into grapple saw use with your tree care operations. Well, that was supposed to be an elevator speech, wasn't it? That is some elevator. Can we put that on an escalator and just kind of stretch that out?
We're going up a couple more floors than we were hoping for, but we made it there. So I guess just for people at home who may not be as familiar with a grapple saw, what exactly is a grapple saw and why are tree care companies using it?
Very good question. This is something I'm very excited about. And I am no expert, Joe. I mean, I am just myself delving into the industry. I'm not an operator, even though I have an operator's license. But what is a grapple saw? Like, so my question is, why are these things so popular? And we are seeing an increase in knuckle boom operation and builds throughout the industry. I think in 2015 at TCI Expo, there were maybe three or four knuckle boom units on the trade show floor with grapple saw attachments. And since then, like at the last TCI Expo Live, we saw maybe upwards of 18 or 19 different manufacturers and companies offering knuckle boom cranes with a grapple attachment. So this piece of machinery has really caught everyone's attention in popularity for several reasons. There's a whole camp of people that say using this equipment in tree care is safer mm-hmm. because you're not exposing your employees to a direct hazard or potential hazard, such as working with fallen trees in storm work or tree damage or hazard trees. And then there's another camp of people who stand by the grapple saw flag that it is, it's quicker, it's faster, it's more efficient than just a regular, a traditional tree care crew made up of two or three, you know, human workers. So several, you know, there are different ideas on why this is a great investment for a tree care company. Either side is right. You know, if it's safer, you're right. If it's more efficient, you're right. The cool thing about it is that it's actually both. For many, many companies out there, they found that, yes, it is a safer way to work in our industry, as well as become more efficient and faster at it. So it's kind of it fits all the bills in all the worlds. It's the best of all, every situation as far as why people would want to pick one up.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But going back to one of the previous things you said you're licensed or certified to operate one, but yes. You don't operate one on a daily basis. So a question about before I even attend a session like this, do I need to be certified or is this session for everybody?
That's a very good question. So this is open to the general tree care public. There's no certification required. And also then therefore there's no, I believe there might be continuing education units offered for this class if you're a CTSP or a certified arborist. I'm not sure it's a CE.
Two CTSP CEUs and two ISA CEUs.
It does have CEUs attached. But no, so we're not gonna since this is a information session, we're gonna call it. It's not hands-on use or anything like that. No, you don't have to be licensed or even certified to enter the room. But when you leave, you're going to be certified more knowledgeable. Is that a certification? To be certified more knowledgeable about integrating a grapple crane. So yes, and and sadly, you're right. I don't use my crane operator certification or license every day. And I kind of wish I did. Maybe I'll get me a knuckle boom grapple saw and drive it to work.
Yeah, I was just curious because I picked up a drone recently, and the craziest thing to me is that going through the certification for the drone as an individual or even as a company is that the entire process doesn't actually require you to ever fly a drone the entire time you're getting set up for it. Is it the same way when you were getting certified for a grapple saw as well, or do you have to actually show proficiency? I know this is going off the expo topic, but I'm curious.
Well, I think a lot of people are asking that same question, and yes, to be qualified as a licensed crane operator, there's a written exam, a written portion after a day-long workshop, and there is a hands-on component. You have to test in proficiency and show competency with a certain degree of obstacles and heights, equipment use and control, knowledge of the operation of the load chart, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, there's a hands-on portion, similar to a driver's test. I mean, you go in, you take the written exam, and then you go out and you drive in circles in the parking lot or whatever they make you do. So it's the same thing.
Okay. No, that's good to know, because I was trying to wonder if there's any sort of prerequisites, because looking at the speakers the panelists on this session, we kind of cover a wide variety of things with them. And I just want to make sure that somebody coming in still feels like they're on equal footing with some of their peers, even if they may not have that same experience and are looking to get into potentially adding one.
Well, that's you hit it right on the head there, Joe. This entire session is for people who have yet to get into the use of a knuckle boom with a grapple saw, people who are exploring the idea, wondering what questions they should even be asking. These five panelists who've pretty much gone through the trenches, either on their own or with additional training, are going to talk about their personal experiences with, you know, financing or operations or maintenance, all the mistakes they made, basically, and inform everybody who's looking to add this equipment to their operations, so that then maybe fewer mistakes are made. You know, it's less costly learning curve if you're making mistakes. So yeah, there's no criteria to meet in order to attend this session. Again, this is a general education session, and we're hoping people get all their questions asked and answered. So I'm personally looking really excited about attending this. I'm going to be moderating. I'm going to be the one who's kind of corralling all five of the speakers and managing the questions that we have provided. So I'm very excited to be working with all these professionals. They come from all different size companies. We have company owners of large companies. We have crane operators of large and small companies. We have a crane trainer, which is going to be very exciting to hear the training aspect, because now that's something, Joe, that I think a lot of people are just making assumptions about. Oh yeah, I'll get a knuckle boom, I'll get a grapple crane, you know, grapple saw. How much harder can it be than maybe operating a log loader? You know, that's there's a whole bunch of mystique that comes with the actual operation of a knuckle boom and a grapple saw. And I think people might be surprised at the learning curve or the level of knowledge needed to safely operate a grapple saw in someone's backyard. So it's a very large piece of equipment. There's a lot of dynamics involved when you're cutting, you know, taking a pick of a tree. I hate for people to think that this would be very similar to just teaching yourself how to learn a skid steer, because there's a joystick. So we're really hoping that we get a lot of people involved who are looking to figure out, you know, gee, is this a difficult machine to operate? Can I trust my foreman to learn how to do this? Or should I do this as the owner? So I don't want anyone to take for granted just, you know, how complex these machines are. Some people, like, you see these YouTube videos or Instagram videos where you see a fast forward segment of a grapple crane just picking apart a tree, nice and quick and easy, and then you pile up the brush and then they go away clapping themselves on the back. It's not just that easy. It's not just like extend, you know, grapple and pull it back. There's a lot that you need to know. So that's my hope, is that people who enter the workshop are going to then be exposed to the actual learning curve and not, you know, make any assumptions about the ease of use of this machine.
So should some of the attendees, should it be obviously the people with the purchasing power to buy? Let me back up. The people who we recommend to attend this kind of session are people who are making the financial decisions for the companies in terms of purchasing, because this is a large equipment purchase and they need to see how it's going to affect productivity and all that other stuff. But should they also be taking potentially the person that they think will be operating this piece of machinery with them too? Rather, I know we kind of have a divide and conquer route most years, because we have so many sessions that go on and there's so much to do and so much to see. And, you know, I know this year we are offering pre-recorded digital versions of almost all of our sessions, but this happens to be the one exception, correct?
Yeah, this is the one session that is not going to be available on demand after the fact. This is the one session you're not going to miss, because there's no repeat until we do it again next year at TCI Expo in Charlotte. So back to your first question, who should attend this? Again, this is a complex piece of machinery, and the decision to purchase this or to put it into operation, I think, takes a lot of heads in the company. unless you already have experience in your company with grapple saw purchasing and operation, I mean, maybe then you're attending the session just out of curiosity and find out what other company owners have gone through. But unless you're that experienced company owner or operator, I would say your finance person should be in the room. Your crane operator should be in the room. The person making the purchasing decision, so the owner or maybe the operations manager should be in the room. You might even consider bringing your entire crew, because if you've never worked either with a crane or you're moving from a traditional human powered tree crew into grapple saws, the entire crew, the effect of on the entire crew is widespread. The ground operators have different functions and have to follow now a moving drop zone. Mm-hmm. Whereas, previously, where you were working at a tree, the drop zone or the landing zone, the danger zone is at the tree. But as the tree in a grapple saw or even in a traditional boom crane, as the load is moving from the tree to the landing zone, which could be 80 feet, 100 feet away, that landing zone is now moving. The ground operations also changes with that. So I would bring the entire crew to the session. They might ask you a question, hey boss, what about this? Have they, asked about that? That, you might not consider, because if you're the owner or the finance manager, you might not be looking at through the eyes of the people actually going to be working next to this piece of machinery. So, it changes your company completely. Moving from a traditional tree care operation, which is human powered and you're climbing and you're using ropes to rig and just using chainsaws and lowering devices to move the tree parts around, moving from that to grapple saw use is just dramatic. It's very dramatic. Of course, it's safer, it's better, it's faster, it's awesome. But there's a lot to it that changes a lot of dynamics. So I would bring everybody involved, especially if you're a small company, or even if you're a sole proprietor, you're thinking of doing subcontracting. Well, it would just be you then, wouldn't it? But I would definitely bring everybody involved. It's going to be a two-hour session. There's going to be plenty of time, again, to ask a lot of questions, to talk to the individual panelists and owners after the fact. There are going to be a lot of manufacturers and equipment representatives in the audience, I believe. It's not like we've reached out and said, hey, Mechanil, we want you to sit in the front row. But I think just from what I've heard, that a lot of manufacturers and equipment distributors are going to be in attendance just to find out what their customers are talking about. What are the pinch points for their customers? And that's what these panelists are. These five panelists are the customers of some of these manufacturers that will be sitting in the audience. So definitely. Everybody should be involved. Everybody should be in the chairs.
No, that makes sense. So this is also because this is a Friday session. This is not you go to the session Friday afternoon and then all of a sudden sign the contract for a whole grapple saw on Saturday, is it? This is one of those things that you really have to take back and think about and consider. And a session like this can help you put it into perspective so you can then make that connection on the show floor with whoever your dealer of choice will be. But it's definitely not one of those things you want to take lightly and just think because you saw it and it looks cool, it's automatically going to work for you and your company.
This session is going to be the beginning of your homework, the beginning of your research process. And I know many, many knuckle boom operators who have taken a couple of years to research the type of equipment, their market share, their market area. Will my market support this? The financing, preparing your financing. So this is not by the end of the session, you're not going to run down to the trade show floor and start knocking on doors. You might, mm-hmm. in order to ask questions, but yeah, you're certainly not going to sign on the dotted line by the time you finish with this workshop. This is the introduction. This is the open door. This is your first step, we're gonna say. Now there will be people again in the audience, experienced operators or company owners who already have a grapple saw. They might be looking to expand their fleet. Those questions will also be answered by the panel. We have one of the panelists has at least 4 cranes that he's put into operation. And so we'll find out from him what his trials and tribulations have been, if it's been a mistake or if it's been, a blessing. So if you're that operator in the audience who wants to expand, or maybe you're thinking you have too many, this is also the place to get those questions answered. And then if you're that person, maybe you do go down to the trade show floor and sign on the dotted line. I mean, everybody's going to have their own purpose for being there, but the main intent of this is to introduce people to the concepts involved in incorporating a grapple saw.
Yeah. I like that. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to manage. And so before or even after the show, to get certified and, become that way. So what's the process like on an individual level? Is it just the 1-day course? Is it you studying beforehand out of a certain manual or book? Like how does that sort of self-study and self-education look? Because for me doing the drone and trying to get the operator's license for that, I'm on the FAA site and they're giving me PDFs on PDFs of things I need to read, like certified testing centers and all that kind of stuff. How does it work for grapple saws this way?
I believe it's going to depend on the training facility or the testing facility, I'm going to say. When I took my crane operator's exam for my license, it was not a prerequisite for me to have completed a workbook or gone through any prior material. The knowledge base was the day-long workshop, I'm going to say day and a half workshop that is required, where the information you need is disseminated and you receive a workbook at that time. The workshop itself moves through the workbook as, you're seeing it probably for the first time. And then the kicker to that is then the following day you take the written exam on the workbook that you've received the day before. So it comes down to actually paying very close attention in the workshop itself. So it's at least for my experience it's NCCCO, National Certified Crane. Oh, and I don't remember what the last C and the O are.
There's a lot of letters in that one.
There. So that was the certification agency that I am licensed through. And it was, I lost one.
But
we'll edit that part out.
But you should be choosing a place basically based off how you learn most efficiently, right? That's really what it comes down to.
In a perfect world, but I don't believe that the crane operator license testing centers are set up for a lot of diverse learning styles. It's one way or no way. You go through the workshop itself, where the workbook is explained and you can ask questions, answer questions. And then based on your retention of the information the day before, then you take the written exam. So it can be difficult for people who have a different way of learning. Like I know everybody who's born digital, learns by video. Yay, good for you. Well, still the old fashioned read a book, retain it and get tested on it method. And that's what I believe a lot of these testing facilities still offer. If you ask me, it's a suitable way to test your knowledge, to test and then a physical assessment. As we change the way that we teach our children and we, get older and our generations get older, our learning styles different, our learning opportunities are different, but these tests are still based on old-fashioned teacher talks, and you listen and you get tested on what you retain. Whether it works for everybody or not, it probably doesn't, but it might be outdated, but this is the current system in play. Now, as far as like a driver's license, I don't know if it has changed, if everything is a digital learning experience, if it's all YouTube videos, watch and learn. I don't know what it's like today. I would guess that it would have to have progressed somewhat from what when I first got a driver's license, which is reading a manual and then taking a test, or maybe it hasn't. But at least for crane operator licensure, it's pretty much the old standard: read a book, take a test.
So they can use their opportunities to make their connections at TCI Expo to come up with a study group and do all that kind of stuff beforehand. If they're going to be meeting these people with very similar interests if they come to our sessions. So, you know, start an impromptu study group that way.
I like that. I'd sit in on that study group. I have this growing fascination with knuckle booms and grapple saws, and I've yet to operate one, but they're just amazing machines to me, that they can replace, a climber. Not that we're trying to replace climbers, because we still want climbers. We still need people who are qualified to climb a tree. But when it's too dangerous to put a human in a tree and there's an alternative, I'm like, yes, let's get that knuckle boom in there with the downed electric wires or whatever. Of course, it has to be dielectric and all of that stuff. But if there's a possibility to, prevent an incident involving a human, and use a robot or nanobots or whatever we're evolving to, I say that is two thumbs up in my opinion. There's no way, Joe, that automation is going to completely replace tree workers. Absolutely no way. I mean, no matter how good robots get. I mean, over the course of maybe 50 years, 60 years, if the technology advances as rapidly as it possibly could, maybe robots would take over the world. But we still need people to think, to assess, to make determinations about the extent of decay in a tree, or to make pruning decisions that based on the health and the future growth of a tree. A nanobot or whatever could possibly do that maybe in 40 or 50 years, but we still need workers to do this type of work. I personally, I don't want the robots to take over. I don't think they're going to replace anybody anytime soon.
No, like you said, it's all about risk mitigation and making sure that at the end of the day, everybody gets home safely. So I like that. Just thinking about anything else, is there anything else about the session at Expo, grapple saws in general, or anything at all that you want to talk about?
In building this workshop with the five company operators, there are some things that came up. Well, some of the questions that are going to be asked of the panelists, that people will hear their experiences. Some things came up that I never really considered. Well, obviously I'm not, in a position to make a grapple saw purchase or to put it into my tree care company, since I am the staff arborist for TCIA and don't really have a tree care company. But the thing that came up to me that was most notable, that was repeated, and people seem to be very adamant about getting your head around, is the maintenance involved in these giant machines. There were words tossed around like, learn to become a good mechanic, or learn to do your own work. Often, especially if you're in a more rural area, if you purchase a grapple saw, you need to make sure that there's somebody in the area who can work on that, somebody who's qualified. I mean, these are newer machines. There's a lot of hydraulics. There's a lot of, a lot of moving parts and pinch points that, just your local car mechanic is not going to be able to handle. So before you even buy something, make sure you have somebody lined up in your area who can handle the maintenance, or maybe get certified yourself as a qualified technician on the type of machine that you're planning to purchase. I think a lot of people also underestimate the cost of keeping parts on stock. Like, it's especially in your learning curve, if you try to teach yourself how to use this machine, you're gonna break a lot of hoses, you're gonna bend a lot of bars, you're gonna make a lot of expensive mistakes. And that all that can be reduced if you find some training, get some training, become a certified grapple saw operator, and then you can reduce the headaches involved with the maintenance, because these things are expensive. And again, if you're not in an area where you can just run out and get some couplers, you might be out of business for a little bit unless you have a store of supplies on hand. You have to keep like $5,000 of parts on hand if you're going to do this maintenance yourself. And the maintenance on these machines is critical. This is not one of those things where you can put off for a month. Oh, I'll just grease it next month. No. These daily inspection and greasing, and there's a lot of grease ports, on these things. You're going to go through a ton of those tubes. So that was the thing that was most notable for me when we were assembling the panelists, is everybody was talking about maintenance and just how much self-education there is. If you're not, choosing to get certified or get training elsewhere, which I recommend, go find some training, just get somebody to, certify you. And this is in addition to what the manufacturer is going to give you, Joe. If you go down to, a knuckle boom crane store and you buy yourself a knuckle boom after all your research, you're going to get some very basic rudimentary instructions from the dealer or the manufacturer on how to just move the machinery. But chances are the manufacturer or the dealer doesn't operate in tree care. They probably have never cut a tree with these machines, even though the trees are designed, or the machines are designed to cut trees. They probably have never had a dynamic load in that grip. They've probably never had to use a sling to rig from on the end of a boom. So your manufacturer is going to basically give you a key and tell you how to turn it on, how to warm it up. But it's up to you to find some qualified training on the true operation of these machines in tree care. And down the road, TCIA will be offering workshops on how to operate these machines safely in tree care. But that is down the road. We're going to start with our panel workshop first at Expo.
Yeah. Thank you, Chucky. I think that's all really good information. And so we don't spoil the entire panel workshop. You can join us on Friday, November 5th. From 3 to 5 p.m. at the live grapple saw panel discussion, and the only place to have the panel discussion. TCIA is happy to announce online testing. With TCIA online testing, you get to say bye to pesky paper testing and the process that goes with it. No more mailing, no more waiting. With online testing, you get your results instantly. You'll receive results and feedback immediately after you hit submit. Our online learning platform is widely used and the go-to platform for colleges all across the United States. With such a widely used system, you have the tools that you need to test with confidence. To learn more about online testing, visit tcia.org or call us at 800-733-2622 to learn more.